Hare Krishna. Good morning, dear devotees. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We will begin immediately. No, we won't begin immediately. I forgot one thing, a very vital component of this session. My japa beads. Which I intend this session to give more time than usual for my own personal needs. It's been a busy day for me. So we'll begin with readings from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. We are on Volume 2, Chapter 4, Text 155 to 157. I didn't finish the commentary, although I'm going to move through it today and go to the next verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yatadara Lambana Ratna Bhuta Narayano Sausa Narotatata Shidamadagnya Kapiladayopi Ye Kautukacha Pratima Sarupa Ye Swagaloka Dishu Vishnu Yagish Varadayomi Bhavatai Vajrishta Matsyo Takuramascha Mahavaraha Shiman Shingho Nanuvamanascha Anyevatarascha Tatai Vatesham Pratyekam Iha Bidaya Prabheda Te Satchidanandagana Hisarve Nanatva Bhajo Pisadai Karupaha. Translation: The Lord's appearances on earth, in the Lord's appearances on earth, he shows similar varieties and equality. The Lord's forms are the shelter and the treasure of the earth. Among them are Naranarayan and Dattatreya and Parashuram, the son of Jamadagni, and Kapila. There are those who playfully assume the appearance of deities, and those such as Vishnu and Yageshwara, whom you have seen on Swargaloka and on other higher planets. There are such various incarnations as Matsya, Kurma, Mahavaraha, Shiman Nrisimha, and Vamana. Each of these forms of the Lord has his own activities and names, yet all of them are full in eternity, knowledge and bliss. Though manifesting variety in substance, they are eternally one. And we'll go directly to the part of the commentary which I have not read yet, beginning with At Bhadarik Ashram. At Bhadarik Ashram, Lord Narayan appears with his younger brother, Nara, as the son of Dharma, and acts as guru for the performers of austerities. In text 155, the word Adi, Kapiladiya, implies other incarnations, including Vyasadev and Dhanvantari. And in text 156, the word Adi, Svarga Lokadishu, implies additional appearance places of the Lord on Maharloka, on Satyaloka, and in the universal coverings formed of earth and other elements. In text 156, the second use of the word Adi, Vishnu Yageshwaradaya, alludes to Lord Mahapurusha on Brahmaloka and to the forms of the Lord such as Varaha, worshipped in the coverings of the universe. Gopakumar has seen many of these forms of the Supreme Lord. The form of Sri Vamana mentioned separately here is different from the four-armed Lord Vishnu, who is the presiding deity on Svargaloka. As we learn from the Puranas, several incarnations of Lord Vishnu appear more than once at different times and under different circumstances. It is known, for example, that Matsya, the greatest of fish, appeared once at the end of a cycle of yugas to save the Vedas during the devastating flood of the universe, and appeared once more during a partial flood of the lower part of the universe to show his mercy to Satyavrata Muni. There are also two Lord Kurmas, one held Mandara Mountain on his back while nectar was being churned from the milk ocean, and the other always holds up the earth. Similarly, there are at least five Lord Varahas. The first appeared from Brahma's nostril at the beginning of creation, lifted the earth, deposited her on the Garbha ocean, and then disappeared. The second saved the earth from a partial flood of devastation, killed Hiranyaksha, and went to Svargaloka. The third, the embodiment of Vedic sacrifice, taught the methods of sacrifice, lifted the earth, spoke to her, the Varaha Purana, and disappeared by his mystic power. The fourth took the earth and made her even by grinding down the excessively large mountains with his sharp tusks. The earth then assumed the form of his consort, Varahi, enjoyed with him, and gave birth to two sons. That Lord Varaha finally disappeared by merging into the form of Lord Nrisimha. And yet a fifth Varahadev perpetually holds up the earth from below. Lord Nrisimha also made several different appearances, as we know from such sources as the Brihat Sahasranam Stotra. One Nrisimha defeated all the celestial mothers, another ripped apart Hiranyakashipu, and yet another assumed the form of an ordinary cat. There were also two appearances of Vamanadev to trick two different asuras, Dundu and Bali. And there were two appearances each of Lord Hayagriva and Lord Hansa. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unminitam Diena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Mangayati Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gaudavani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Pastichade Satarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaudavaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. As I said, I'm going to not spend too much time on this rest of this commentary and move to the next verse. Still, to summarize what we've covered, just simply, we've covered in this verse, these three verses, which were taken together, how the Lord appears in unlimited forms, in unlimited places, to accept the moods of love by his unlimited devotees who meditate and worship him in those particular forms. And we also discussed how each of these forms are eternal forms. They are not illusory forms. They are forms which the Lord which are eternally manifest in the spiritual world. And we also described how those forms descend both the Lord himself and also his associates or his entourage, who associate with him in his eternal residences in the spiritual world, and how they also similarly descend into various realms, such as into Vaikuntha, and into Svargaloka and the heavenly planets, and also when the Lord manifests his pastimes here in this world, those associates also assume either their original forms, which are eternally manifest in Goloka, or they may assume a different form, although it is them. Some of them, as we also described, are avatars who descend with same manifesting the same qualities and characteristics as which are manifest in the spiritual world. Some of them, as we described, are counterparts who are were not full manifestations of their persona and in different features, but to display a particular aspect of their persona in a temporary realm such as in Svargaloka or elsewhere in the higher planetary systems to fulfill a particular purpose there. And then when their counter wholes, or their original themselves originally, when they manifest here and they descend in this world along with the pastimes of the Lord, then sometimes those counterparts may merge into them. And in this way, that is how they appear in this world. We covered all these unlimited features of both the Lord and his devotees, especially the devotees who've been, as described, have been given potencies similar to the Lord, and so that they may serve the Lord in their according to the way they desire, and also according to the way the Lord desires to reciprocate with their desires. And that is a theme that is going to be continued throughout many verses in this section in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. The theme is, and as I said, many verses will elaborate on this, that Someone may ask the question, why so many unlimited forms? And the answer to that question, which is the theme, is because there's so many unlimited moods of his devotees. And therefore the Lord is very much inclined to not discourage them in any way, to discourage their pure mood of devotion. What the point that is also brought out is that if he were to simply manifest a temporary form just to satisfy them, which was an illusory form and not really an eternal form, then in one sense, the devotees who have so much pure love for the Lord in that form, they would feel, I can't remember what the word that was used, but I'm pretty sure it was cheated. They would feel cheated because they are giving everything of themselves, and the Lord's just saying, okay, I'll just manifest this for you, but it's not me. It's just an illusory form which I've created temporarily to give you some satisfaction. But the point is, and this is what will come out, that's not going to work for an eternal associate of the Lord. You can't give him a temporary form and say, okay, I'm just going to satisfy you for now, because there's no such thing as for now for these devotees. It's forever. So they would feel cheated. So the Lord obviously can't give them a temporary form for now, because they love him in that form forever. So therefore, he has to manifest, not has to manifest, he does everything by his own sweet will, but he is certainly bound, and that is another point that's brought out, that his bhaktivatsalya, he's bound by the pure love of his devotees, and therefore being bound by such pure love, he wants to give everything. He wants to give himself. And therefore, that is one explanation which we'll find as a theme in many of the upcoming verses of this section of Brihad Bhagavatamrita about these unlimited, very personal forms which the Lord eternally manifest, meaning no beginning, no end, if we take into account our understanding of eternal, and also if we take into account that living entities, the Nitya Siddhas, eternally liberated souls, have no beginning and no end, we're going to enter into the realm of inconceivableness, which is generally a place where we find ourselves entering into, and then it's going to happen. It's inevitable. It has to happen. And because it does happen, it only simply enhances all of the wonderful features of the unlimited Lord, which act as a catalyst, of course, for the devotees to... it could go either way. It could go into those devotees who are awed and very reverential towards these unlimited features, or it could act as a catalyst for those devotees who have such as Gopakumar. It acts as a catalyst for him. Why? And I'll explain it. It acts as a catalyst for him because for Gopakumar, he saw in Vaikuntha that form which was most attractive to him. So someone may say, why wasn't it steady? If that's the form he wants, if that's the form he's meditating on, if that's the form he's worshiping, and if the Lord can give his devotee exactly the object of his meditation, then why did Gopakumar have to experience the temporary visibility of his worship, of the form that he's worshiping? Why? It's the whole theme of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Because it's not his place. He has a better place destined for him. And for everyone else, it's their place. And that's why sometimes we're always discovering this. And Sanatana Goswami is so wonderfully bringing it to light of how Gopakumar is transiting, so to speak, or wavering between that form which he sees and which the Lord showed him, very merciful. He showed it to him. But then all of a sudden, Gopakumar couldn't remain steady with that form. Why? Because he was not in the place he was destined to be. And that's something very important. That will answer, if we look at it that way, and understand it that way, then we'll be able to continue to go through this journey with the right understanding that Gopakumar has that unique love. He's attracted to that unique, that wonderful, special, sweet form. And being that's his sankalpa. I started to read Sankalpa Kamudi. I won't tell you how I got it. I'm sworn to secrecy. But that's his sankalpa, which of course is it's his meditation, his deep meditation, and it's his that's what's carrying him. That's what's carrying him. So it's all very consistent if we understand things in this perspective. Very consistent. Beautifully, I should say, beautifully consistent. And wondrously consistent. Spectacularly consistent. But I don't want to get too much into the spectacular nature, because it's essentially, it's sweet. That's the essence. It's so sweet. And that sweetness is, of course, the destiny for Gopakumar to experience at the right time. As we also, I think we spoke about this, I don't remember if it was the last class here or the last class there, but as we spoke about, it's simply a matter of time. It's destined to happen for those who are fixing their object of meditation in their hearts and worshiping them. And that's going to come out in the next verse, and that's why I want to move to the next verse. So I'm going to read text 158. I think it's, yes. Nanatvam isham chakadapi mayikam na jivana natvam iva pratiyatam Tachchid vilasatmaka shakti darshitam nana vidhopasaka chitrabhavajam. The differences between them should never be seen as illusory. Differences between them means between these different forms. Differences between them should never be seen as illusory, any more than should the plurality of the conditioned souls. Rather, the differences between the Lord's forms are displays of the energies that underlie his spiritual pastimes. The differences are born of the various moods of his various worshippers. Commentary. Someone might argue that only by illusion can a single being appear as many, but the verse at hand explains the truth. As we know from the teachings of Vedanta, the jiva souls are real, and they are factually distinct from the Supreme Soul and from one another. What is that verse? Nāte vāhajātu nāsam nāna cham nevichadnādipa. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, Arjuna, nor all these kings who are assembled here in the battlefield, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Prabhupada oftentimes will quote this verse simply to establish this very important point. He would quote this verse and explain that Krishna spoke this verse to make it clear that he was distinctly different from Arjuna. He was distinctly different from all the kings. And all the different kings were all distinctly different from one another, because if they were all ultimately one, why did Krishna bother to make the distinction? And Prabhupada would oftentimes quote that verse to explain this essential philosophical point that every living being is distinctly unique. And if you try to imagine, if every living being is distinctly every living being, not just humans, not demigods, every living being is distinctly unique. And every living being has a distinctly unique object. Of course, some of them may share similar moods. Such as those in the different rasas in Goloka. But even if they share different moods, and this is the point at which is going to come out, the Lord distinctly manifests a unique form just for them. Just for them. So that they think, I am alone with him. And at the point that's going to come out, that's not an illusion. That's not just a form that the Lord created to pacify them. Why? Because, and this point will be brought out by Narada Muni at the Gopa Kumara, because when each of the queens was cooking and feeding Krishna, each queen was thinking, Krishna's accepted my meal first. That's how she was thinking. And satisfied with my meal. And as we also mentioned before, that there were different times of the days that Narada Muni discovered, although he was going at the same time into the different times of the days that he was with the queens. And they were all distinctly forms of the Lord fully Him. Fully Him. Now we're bordering the inconceivable range again. But this is Krishna. So, anyways, as we know from the teachings of Vedanta, the jiva souls are real and they are factually distinct from the Supreme Soul and from one another. The differences between the individual jivas and the Paramatma, and the differences among the jivas themselves, are not illusions created by Maya. In other words, someone may say, "Yeah, they have. They all have these different bodies, and that's what makes them the distinct because of the different bodies. But they're all one. But now they've just simply become distinctly different because they have these different bodies. But when they actually become liberated, they'll know they're all one." So this point is being made clear. This is not a fact. They are distinctly different and they have that distinct body because of their distinct karma, which is accumulated since time immemorial, and even in a perfected state, and as evidenced, as never was there a time when they did not exist, and never in the future will they ever cease to be. So the differences between the individual jivas and the Paramatma, and the differences among the jivas themselves, are not illusions created by Maya. Nor does one jiva appear divided into many souls simply by false designations. Nor does the one supreme truth reflect itself into many small images, jivas, who have no real existence of their own. No, I was going to say, just before, I might have mentioned this, before I came to Krishna consciousness, I worked with a gentleman who was a very strong advocate of a different philosophy. And he was trying to convince me to become a member of his institution. And his philosophy that he was using to me is that we're all God, and we're all one. We've only became individual because we forgot we're God. And if we follow the procedure which is being taught by his leader. I'm not going to say who it is. Maybe you might figure it out. Maybe some of them have already said who it was, but I don't want to go there. But if we follow the procedure for perfection, then when we become completely free from all our designations, we'll realize that we are united because we're all God and we can do anything we want. That's what he was trying to convince me. And it wasn't very convincing. I'll just leave it at that. But these are the points that are being brought here. So, the jivas are real, and their differences are real. In the same way, all the forms of Godhead are real manifestations of His pure spiritual essence, displayed by His personal energies. The personality of Godhead is a vast ocean of many different moods of loving exchange. His various devotees respond to his various pastimes by developing individual ecstasy, by developing individual varieties of ecstasy. And the Lord reciprocates with these ecstasies by showing himself in different ways. His devotees are concerned with him alone, and therefore, whenever a devotee becomes extremely anxious to see him in a particular form, the Lord at once shows that form to the devotee. These appearances of the Lord, although apparently ad hoc, temporary, to fulfill a particular purpose. I'm familiar with this word because sometimes I hear about ad hoc committees that have been formed to fulfill certain purposes for certain times and circumstances. It's ad hoc, and I'm glad they're ad hoc. I'm just waiting to get off the ad hoc committee that I'm on right now. It seems like it's forever, but it's been called an ad hoc committee. Although the committee started 2006. But such is the nature of time. Anyways, because of this, I know well what ad hoc means. And that's why I'm waiting for it to end. So, these appearances of the Lord, although apparently ad hoc, are in fact eternal, real, and all-pervading. What is it? There's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Hopefully, I think it's in the third canto, spoken by Lord Brahma in his prayers. It's a verse which very nicely fits into what we just read. Third canto. Yes, I found it. Third canto, ninth chapter, 11th verse. O my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed, and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. This is third canto. Well, maybe we can talk about this, but I wanted to read it because it may come up in a future verse. His devotees are concerned with him alone, and therefore whenever a devotee becomes extremely anxious to see him in a particular form, the Lord at once shows that form to the devotee. I guess we have to couple extremely anxious here, the words extremely anxious, with the explanation which we just got from the verse that we just read for Lord Brahma, that when the devotee is extremely anxious to hear about this particular attractive form which the devotees meditated upon, because it's not just a form, because each form that the devotee is attracted to has unlimited pastimes. Therefore, it's not just simply the meditation of the form and hearing about the features of the form, but then it's hearing about the activities that the Lord performs in that form, which become very much a worshipful mood in his heart to hear those activities which are most attractive to him. And such as Gopakumara, he was most attracted to speak about the activities of Madan Gopal, yet the other residents of Vaikuntha were not so attracted to hear those descriptions. They were attracted to hear other descriptions because that was their method of worship prior to their entrance to Vaikuntha. They were meditating on a particular form and they were hearing about particular aspects of that form. Therefore, they were meditating on the activities, pastimes of the Lord in that form. They got the destination they desired. And same will happen for Gopakumara. So, extremely anxious includes the eagerness to hear. O my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed, and you take your seat there. You're so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. Okay. These appearances of the Lord, although apparently ad hoc, are in fact eternal, real, and all-pervading. By displaying his pastime incarnations, the Supreme Lord fulfills the hankerings in the hearts of all pure devotees. Were he to fail to do so, his most significant glory, unlimited kindness to his surrendered servants. This is Bhaktivatsalya, I was speaking about. It's not mentioned here, but Bhaktivatsalya, which is his most significant glory, which is that he'll always reciprocate with those who love him purely. And not only reciprocates, but will even become subservient to their mood of love. He'll take it to the extreme. His most significant glory, unlimited kindness to his surrendered servants, would be lost if any form in which the Lord appears were to prove non-eternal, unreal, or less than all-pervading. The devotees worshipping that form would be disappointed, and great harm would come to their spiritual lives. Therefore, none of the Lord's incarnations allow themselves to be affected by the illusory influence of Maya. I finished the commentary, but as I indicated in the beginning that I'm going to not give a long class today, so I'm going to dedicate some time to chanting japa with you and for myself also. And I'll further elaborate on this commentary in next class. And we'll end here. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasiddhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari 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 Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari 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 Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We will end here, dear devotees. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. And we'll resume our class on Saturday, same time, and on Wednesday, at 10 a.m. India time. Thank you very much. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Siddhi Gaurava Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.